Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hello, everybody. Thank you very much. Nice to have you back with us again. We're excited today because Gene Shaw is going to rejoin us here on this broadcast. If you were listening last week, you heard a program with Gene Shaw where he was talking with Jim Masters. He's kind of an amazing guy. He is a coach who specializes in leadership development and executive coaching, primarily in the healthcare industry, healthcare space. As he points out, the definition of a strong leader is someone who knows themselves, who has a degree of self-understanding and an ability to accomplish objectives. He also points out a strong leader is a people person. That is, if you're only focusing on the technology or the finance or the marketing and you've forgotten about what the people component is, then you're really missing a big part of what's going to make you successful in life. And he's been guided by that because he believes there is a tremendous need for that. Gene is an amazing executive, an amazing coach. He's based in Chesapeake, Virginia, down near the banks of the Chesapeake Bay in the Norfolk area. And in any event, he's on the line with us, and it's a delight to have you back. Gene, hello. Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Doug. I'm good. How are you?
Listen, I'm amazed. I didn't hear your broadcast with Jim the other day, but the thing that amazes me, and I points out this because I'm married to a nurse, you started your career as a nurse, right, as a registered nurse?
I did. I entered the healthcare space as a registered nurse and am still M1. So it was an excellent career choice and feel very passionate about it.
Well, you say you still are one. I mean, from what I know, once you're a registered nurse, you're always a registered nurse, you know, unless you retire, but you're still a registered nurse. I'm amazed by this, and I'd like to explore a little bit about the path you took to go from being a registered nurse into becoming a coach. How did that happen for you? Talk to me a little bit.
My clinical background in nursing took me to a variety of opportunities within the healthcare space. I was moving into positions of leadership and education, and had the opportunity in one organization that I served in to transition into information technology, where I could combine what I knew as a clinical registered nurse with information technology. That launched me into administration and allowed me to serve as a hospital administrator in an organization. That organization was very focused on leadership development and leadership training, and I had the opportunity to serve as a mentor to several emerging leaders, where I really was able to use my love of leadership development, coaching, helping emerging leaders, and that was really the opportunity then that launched my interest in executive coaching. So that after when I retired, I then pursued formulating Gene Shaw Coaching as a client organization.
Well, that's pretty interesting indeed. I can't help but wonder if you find yourself coaching people that are from the healthcare industry, maybe even nurses, RNs who come to you for help. You would be a logical choice, I would think, but I don't know. Talk to me about that. Would that be typical of the kind of clients you help, or does it really range, you know, from all kinds, the business spectrum?
Because of my background, Doug, in healthcare, I have focused most of my time working with clients coming from the healthcare space. The that doesn't necessarily mean that the questions and issues and opportunities exist only in healthcare. So the skill set is one that transcends to other industries. But I've worked with a variety of professionals within healthcare, some nurses, some business folks, other clinicians who have really wanted to pursue different opportunities or learn a new skill set.
Well, you know, when you talk about nurses and the nursing industry, nurses can get burned out. It's a tough business being a nurse. These days, 12-hour shifts, you know, and there are cutbacks in hospitals and things of that nature. Do you find you get clients of that type who come to you for help and looking for advice on what to do? I mean, are they thinking about getting out of nursing altogether, or are they looking to go into a different arena? What about that?
You know, healthcare offers some very, very unique challenges with holding the patient as the core product. You know, we're usually encountering patients and families when they're most vulnerable when they come to us in healthcare. So the caregivers, if you will, have a pretty tough job, you know, in any time, much less a pandemic. I think those folks that I've talked to, some of my current clients, are looking at other opportunities in healthcare, not necessarily wanting to get out, but wanting to expand their skills, wanting to grow into another area, wanting to move up into positions of more responsibility and spread their wings that way.
So when they do come to you talking about that, let's talk a little bit about how you help them. What do you obviously you bring a lot to the table. I mean, you have extraordinary credits to you, and when you look at your background and the amount of time you've, you know, 40 years in the healthcare industry, 35 years of leadership experience. You've been a healthcare executive for 11 years. You've been on the faculty leadership development program, a coach. You know, you've done so much. How do you use all of this background and experience you have to help these clients? What do you do when they come in the door? How does it start with you? Tell me a little bit.
Well, usually it begins with just a simple conversation where we talk about kind of introduce and getting to know each other, talk about our backgrounds and where our paths may have intersected in the industry. And then really exploring what the individual, the client, is interested in. What are they looking to do? Are they looking to exit their current position? Are they looking to change industries? Are they looking to move up? You know, some clients have very specific ideas. Others are more general, where they are wanting to move into a position of leadership. They have no idea what that is or where that might take them. But every discussion, every engagement is focused on very specific objectives. So we kind of talk through a variety of things, and then we narrow down and hone down the discussion so that the time and the experience is very well spent. So the objectives are very focused. And we, throughout the engagement, then measure how we're doing against those objectives. Are we making progress? Are we needing to take a left turn? Through the course of discussion, is the objective no longer beneficial and really we want to move somewhere else? So I would tell you that no two engagements are alike. There's some similarities, of course, but they're all very focused on specifics, because otherwise it doesn't become meaningful and the client doesn't see that as a good use of their time.
Well, I can understand that. And I think it's worth pointing out your background because it's so heavily focused in the healthcare field and the arena. I mean, you have a Bachelor of Science in Nursing from Loyola University in Chicago, a Master of Science Administration from DePaul. You're a fellow of the American College of Healthcare Executives and a fellow of the College of Healthcare Information Management Executives. It's healthcare. You are really steeped in and deep knowledge in that arena. So if somebody came into you and, you know, and they were, let's say they were an executive in a small company that makes widgets in you know, near where you are, and they're needing help in their career and management, would you accept them as a client, or would you encourage them to go somewhere else? You know, it's interesting because not every coach is great for every individual. I hear that from all the coaches we talk to. How would you answer that?
I think it depends on what the client wants to achieve. If it is very industry specific and the industry is outside of healthcare, then I'm probably not the best coach to help them. If it is an objective that focuses on leadership development, self-knowledge, kind of figuring out where I want to be, how I want to position myself, the skills I need to get to that point, then yes, I believe I can help them. But, you know, there's some clients, Doug, who are trying to achieve a very specific position in a very specific industry. And if that's an industry that I don't know, I'm certainly not going to lead them down a path where I don't have that expertise. But in many industries, the concepts and skills and understandings that you use, especially in managing peoples and processes, are very, very similar. Not exact, but similar.
Well, that makes so much sense. And yet, you know, I know your passion is helping individuals achieve their maximum potential. And that's, you know, that's not easy to do. So let's explore how you help clients get there. I assume when they come to talk to you, you know, they have to be very honest and open with you to let you know where they are and what they need. When you start an engagement with someone, typically how long does it take working with them until you get, you know, some concrete results? Doesn't happen overnight, does it?
It does not. I would say the average engagement is typically anywhere between 9 and 12 months, and that assumes we're having ongoing dialogue a couple times a month or once a month. There are some engagements, some clients that I'm working with now that are multi-year, so they are going longer than that. There are some engagements I have worked with through professional organizations where I serve as a volunteer coach in a pro bono capacity, and those are typically around 6 months. So the engagement can be tailored to the specifics of what the client really wants to focus on. But I would tell you they're currently averaging probably between 6 and 12 months.
Well, I guess that's pretty average to get the kind of help that these folks need. I asked you before about, or I mentioned to you before we went on, if you had some stories, you know, success stories to stick out in your mind. You have a great website, by the way, that has some great testimonials on it. And I should give you a website address. Anybody who's listening who wants to know more about Gene and how to get in touch with you, it's pretty simple. It's GeneShawCoaching.com. Gene is G-E-N-E and Shaw, S-H-A-W, GeneShawCoaching.com. By the way, have you gotten back to meeting with people in person? I'm sure it was all by Zoom and, you know, virtual during the height of the pandemic. Have you gone back to meeting individuals in person yet, or are you still doing it, you know, virtually?
Most of the discussions and contact is virtually, either through phone call or through Zoom meetings, but certainly open to those possibilities. You know, really it depends on what works for the client and where the client is located. You know, some prefer to have ongoing monthly discussions on the phone, and that meets their needs. Others would prefer, you know, the more face-to-face approach. But currently, most of that has been remote, yes.
So tell me an example of someone who came to you for help, and, you know, after working with them for a while, you feel like you helped set them on the road to, you know, much more success in their career. Tell me one. Just an example.
There are a couple, Doug, that come to mind. One is a client who came to me through a volunteer effort that I was doing in coaching, offering my coaching services to a professional organization. And this specific leader who I began working with in this capacity really had the idea that they wanted to get to the next level. In this case, they were at a department head level and they wanted to move to the executive level. This particular individual had all of the experience and talents and credentials, certifications, the whole gamut of what they would need to be at that level. So during the engagement, when we were developing the objectives, we talked specifically about, so how do I get to the executive level? How do I get there? And over the course of several months, we talked a lot about the motivation and the why. Why do I want to be at that next level? What is it that is interesting me? What's attracting me to be there? So long story short, in the process of that discussion and discovery over several months, the individual came to the conclusion that they were pursuing this advanced position for all the wrong reasons and really decided that wasn't what they wanted to do, even though that was how the engagement started. And they later decided then to move laterally within their organization. I mentioned this particular client because it was certainly a challenging and it was a tough decision for that individual to reach. They had their mind set on this executive position, and I am so proud of the work that they did to really take a step back and reassess, why is it that I want to do this, or what is it that I'm looking for? The great part is we have kept in touch, and this individual is very happy and deeply fulfilled in this position, not at the next level. And that's probably the one that comes to mind very, very frequently.
That's interesting. It wasn't the money factor then that was driving him, was it? He wanted the position. Obviously, you know, money is part of it. I guess it always has to be when you're trying to get to a higher position. But you helped him realize it wasn't really the right thing for him. He came to that decision himself. That's pretty amazing.
We certainly talked through the money aspect because that always is a motivator. But as we all have learned in our careers, that's usually a short-term motivator because as soon as you spend it, then you want more. So when you kind of peel that onion back and really begin to look a little bit deeper beyond the money piece and really look at that motivation, that was where this individual said, no, I think I would be happier at a mid-manager or department head level.
Do you think being an executive in the healthcare industry is a lot different from being an executive in other industries like the banking industry or manufacturing organization? Or are they all fairly similar in many respects once you reach the executive level? How do you feel about that?
So I have always focused my attention on the core product of healthcare, which is the patient. So to answer your question straight up, Doug, I would tell you that I think it is different. I think the executive in healthcare who keeps the patient and their family focused on what they're doing, that in the decisions that we make and the choices that we're offered, if we keep that focus clearly on the patient and family, and that is tremendously difficult to do, especially in the last year and a half with all of the challenges healthcare has been facing. So I believe the core product is so different and so unique in healthcare that I think serving as an executive in healthcare is unique and is different than in banking or a different industry.
That's a great answer, and I totally understand that. What do you enjoy about what you're doing now? What do you like about coaching?
I think there's several aspects that I enjoy and that allows me to keep coming back. The opportunity to assist emerging leaders and executives, the opportunity to make a difference, the opportunity to help someone grow. I think for me, you know, I get as much out of the engagements as the client working through those questions or objectives, but the satisfaction that I get is really seeing those individuals grow and expand and make tough decisions. So it keeps me coming back, and I hope that I can continue to do it as long as there's a need out there.
Do you, when you're working with a client, do you give them homework to do, assign them lessons and things to help them, you know, on that road to where they're trying to reach, or do you just simply chat with them and give them your advice from, you know, based on your experiences? How does it work?
That's a great question, Doug. Actually, we both have homework. So depending upon the focus of the call or what objective we're working on, there is typically reading and prep that both the client and the coach engage in. And then coming out of that discussion, coming out of our time together, there is likely follow-up. In some cases, it's reflection. In some cases, it is reading. In some cases, it is role-playing. There's a whole variety of skills that are actually used. But usually, we both walk away with homework, and that is meaningful, I think, for both of us. But yes, there definitely is homework involved.
And do you find that most of the people who come to you for help after working with them for a while, they go on to reach the goal that they had in mind, unless they, you know, they've changed their mind altogether, like the example you just talked to me about, but that most of them find some degree of success and that coaching has been a really big help to them? Do you feel that way?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And One of the reasons that I know that is I've had the opportunity to work with a couple clients who have been repeat clients that we may have worked together years ago and then come back or call me. One in particular I worked with through a professional organization, again, in a volunteer capacity, that then wanted to engage further, to go deeper. So we spent more time together and then kind of went away and was extremely successful in their career. And then actually came back and reengaged as they were sunsetting their career, that were really planning for retirement and winding down and had a vision of a couple years down the road, exiting the profession and retiring. How do I do that? So they had the opportunity to work with clients in a couple different capacities, but the repeat clients helped prove to me how successful they have been because I get to hear their stories and what they've been doing in the last year or two. So again, very, very rewarding discussions.
I can't think of anything more rewarding than to have a client go on and really achieve success after you've worked with them. On the other hand, I also assume there are some clients that you work with that are real challenges. You know, that you can be somewhat stymied as to how you're going to help them. Any examples like that you found particularly difficult?
I think that the clients where I have struggled or they have struggled is those that don't realize that coaching is hard work. Coaching engagement is hard work, and it's a two-way street. So if the individual is not ready or doesn't have the time or can't make it a priority, then usually it doesn't go well. It doesn't go well, and sometimes it ends prematurely because, you know, I think it requires time and thought and calendar commitment and time for homework and an understanding that it's a give and take, but that it is work. It's not just a fluffy discussion. And I think the individual has to have the time and capacity and willingness, if you will, to put that time in on the calls or in the meetings and then in between when a lot of the thinking and reflection actually occurs.
I think it's interesting you mentioned that they have to devote the time to it, and that when you really think about it, that does make sense. It obviously they have to devote the time to this. One other thing, have you seen a lot of changes in the healthcare industry that in effect are changing the way you guide people as to what they may want to do or as to how to get to the their eventual goal? Many industries have changed dramatically, and obviously the healthcare industry is one of those that is constantly changing. It's not easy. How do you feel about that?
I would tell you that in the last year and a half during the pandemic, that the discussions certainly have changed. The clients that I'm working with are facing, just as all of us have, new and different ideas, but they're facing it from a professional capacity of how do they do their work. That was something none of us ever anticipated or planned for, and kind of work through that whole discussion about how do you build a team, how do you relate to individuals when a lot of that is remote and not face-to-face, especially in an industry like healthcare, which is very obviously people face-to-face driven. So I can reflect back on discussions with several executives who have really struggled through how do I do my job now because it's so different than it was two years ago. And that, of course, is the more recent experience with the pandemic. There are other challenges in healthcare, everything from cost to technology to staffing, that make it very unique and very challenging. As you said, it's a very complicated industry.
Well, I can certainly understand that, and obviously the pandemic has made major changes in every industry, and certainly the healthcare industry. What do you see for the future of your coaching practice? How do you foresee it? Do you see it changing much or much the same as you go along?
I see it certainly continuing. I see it as, again, an opportunity to touch people's lives, to help them get to the next point. I think the challenges will continue. I don't think they're going to lighten up or lessen. I believe we'll continue to get a handle on the pandemic, but that doesn't necessarily eliminate opportunities and challenges. So I see that continuing. There are a whole group of staff and emerging leaders that I'm excited to talk to and work with who want to learn, want to experience, want to get to the next level. So I'm excited to work with them. I tell each of them, Doug, every leader, I believe, will benefit from a coach and a mentor. And the two pieces of advice I always suggest is that the coach and mentor cannot be your boss and cannot be your spouse. So I think there is great value in that and great opportunity.
Gene, thank you so much. It's been great chatting with you. The website is GeneShawCoaching.com, an amazing coach specializing in the healthcare industry. Gene, thanks for your time. This has been really, really interesting. Okay? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Doug.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.